Hey friends, welcome to the Next Step Leadership Podcast, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. I'm Tracy Reynolds, and my partner for the Next Step journey is Chris Maxwell. Together we hope to inspire, assist, and create the confidence you need to take your next step in your personal growth, spiritual growth, vocation, or even your calling. Thanks for joining us. Well, come on, let's dive into this week's episode of Next Step Leadership.
Welcome again to Next Step Leadership Podcast. Chris Maxwell and Tracy Reynolds having conversations with one another, with friends, and with each of you. Tracy, talk to us about our conversation in the last episode with Peter Greer.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
That's the word that comes to mind. I love his heart for both microbusiness and entrepreneurship and missions, and the marriage of those, and trying to make meaningful, helpful help, sustainable differences in people's lives, not as a proponent, but as a listener, follower, who happens to be in a leadership position.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Anyway,
Tracy,
I don't want to take any more time from Peter, but welcome back to our podcast, Peter Greer, the president and CEO of Hope International.
Now, looking forward to two different conversations. I love it. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to have these conversations with you. I've loved many of the conversations Tracy and I've had have found a variety of ways of moving us toward this concept of teamwork. You know, Tracy and I like doing the show together. So it's not just Chris, it's not just Tracy, it's the two of us. But when you find businesses or ministries or churches that are so kingdom-minded, I believe they move in a healthy way from the singular to the plural. And we need that today because we live in this marketing mindset of sort of the one-man show, the preacher star, this whole concept of who has the mic. But you're operating this mindset of teamwork, of what can we, plural, do to help others and other ministries and other churches. So just talk to us about that, just kind of this life in the plural.
Yeah, and I would say maybe that is not something that necessarily came naturally to me. But it's one of these things, you don't need to make a strong argument to say, if we could actually rediscover our shared mission, we'd be able to do so much more. You don't need to have a lot of theology to understand that's what Jesus was praying for the night before he went to the cross in John 17, that we would be brought to complete unity. We don't need more arguments of why that is important or why that matters. I think the piece that we do need more of is, how do we do that? And that's really what was behind our book, Rooting for Rivals, because in my own heart, it was, why is it sometimes that I look at other organizations, especially those that are closest to us in the same space, maybe with a similar donor support base, why is it that sometimes I look at them and would identify them as they're the benchmark. They're the ones that we are our rivals. How silly is that? And so we started looking at organizations that have this radical posture of open-handedness, these individuals that truly are collaborative in the best sense, and what is it that we can learn from them? And sorry, Chris, this is a long answer, but the what we found is it really comes down to two significant worldview questions: is, do we believe in a God of abundance or in a world of scarcity? And do we believe our calling is to our organization or to the kingdom of God? Mm. Those two questions frame whether or not we are able to be open-handed, generous, and to take meaningful steps towards a posture of true collaboration, true friendship. And I just know in my own life, when I think there's not enough, that causes this inward focus. When I think only about Hope International, that misses out on what God is doing in other organizations. And so increasingly, day to day, how can I make sure my decisions reflect a belief that God is not a God of scarcity, but a God of abundance? He has enough for all of us, for what he's called us to do, and if there ever is a conversation or ever is a situation where I'm forced to choose between what might be best for Hope International or what might be best for the broader kingdom of God, the broader mission, I want to choose mission every single time on that. And that's where the real movements happen. That's where the real impact happens. And that's increasingly where I want to be as a leader. Abundance, not scarcity, and kingdom over our little club.
Mm. I love the whole idea of, am I here to compete with you or to complete you? And we need each other. I desperately need you, and you need me. And was it Harry Truman that said, you know, it would be amazing what we could accomplish in this world if we didn't care who got the credit? So if we can just think in terms of what can we do together, and appreciating the church across town or across the street, and celebrating what God is doing there, like you said, as if there's plenty of grace to go around. So that's wonderful. Well, in our earlier conversation, you mentioned kind of subliminally that the key to effective ministry, effective really anything, is relationship. It's not just taking what I have and offering it, even if I'm offering it freely, but how can I learn? How can we together discover what might make a sustainable difference? So can we talk about how we might do that as a missions mindset or a strategy of building partnerships with other countries or other organizations?
Yeah, and it's really woven into the model of what we do at Hope International that initially, you know, we talk about these three elements of it's the hope of Christ, it is capital mobilization, investment capital for entrepreneurship or savings, and then it is done in community, in relationships. And I have seen again and again and again, I still believe in the importance of capital, but it is the fact that this is done in relationship. It is in community. That is why this model has such a powerful impact. It's not just because there's this investment capital. It's because this model within this context of relationship, that's really at the core of it. And I think you look at all the stats that we're seeing right now and the growth, the epidemic of loneliness, and I think this is an area for the church to lead in. What if the church could lead in relationship? What if we could lead in a place of belonging? I think that would have such a transformational impact, not just in the way that we think about the work that we do around the world, but also in our communities where we serve. So how can we right now, at this moment in time, create communities of belonging, create more places and spaces for friendship? Whew, I think that would have such an incredible impact. We've seen it around the world. We've seen it in the places that we serve. And I just long to see that in my home church here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania as well. And then to your point on partnerships, this then is also true in partnerships that we see with other organizations. And again, our model, we partner with denominations around the world, we partner with different churches, and going in, and before we think about programmatic, here's what we're going to do, tell me about your family. Tell me about you. Let's be on this journey together, shoulder to shoulder. Let's be walking together for the long term. And I think that's just far more joy, far more impact, far more meaning when we do this work together, as opposed to this is a project that we do for other people. No, I think that misses out on the beauty of relationship.
Mm. It's mostly leading from questions rather than answers. I'm not here to provide you a solution. No, I may be, well, you go to what doctor, and are they ever going to say, okay, I'm walk in the door and say, well, Chris, I think today you need a shot of penicillin, and I don't know what the symptoms are. I'm not going to make a prescription until I listen. And my doctor is fantastic. He's an older guy who he keeps no digital records, but man, he reviews every aspect of my life before he even begins to think about, you know, some kind of prescription for me. So what if we started relationships recognizing that you have something to offer me and that knowing you is going to be of benefit to me? We can mutually learn together. That's not a bad starting place.
As you think about the the young generation of those students that recently graduated from college, or those that Tracy and I are spending a lot of time with. Think about how, Peter, if they're planning a church right now, if they recently said yes to some type of position in a local church, how can they come into that, like early on in ministry, with the mindset that you're talking about? You know, as you're thinking about Hope International, let's all live with that mindset. Give us some thoughts to kind of start well, begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, and I think that's where the small steps make a significant impact when compounded by time. So what are those small steps that you can take? Maybe it's as simple as start to tithe your time. We all have more than we can do internally within our organization. What if you took 10% of that and focused outside the bounds for the other organization, started meeting with other leaders with one agenda item? How can I help? How can I? So what if we started spending time in relationship with those outside, especially with those other churches or other organizations that the world might look at and identify as, oh, you're the competition? What if we actually said, no, we're on the same team? What if we changed our language and never allowed ourselves to use comparative language when talking about other organizations that are involved in similar aspects of ministry? People always want to know, how are you different, or how are you better, or how are you bigger, or how are you more innovative? And what if you just never answered those questions and flipped it and said, I'd rather tell you what we're doing together. Tell me what I loved. Let me tell you about what I love about their model, about their ministry. What if we changed our language and got away from comparative words? And what if we had a time of prayer, not just for our organization, our congregation, our organization, but what if we reached out to the other church or the other organization and said, how can we be praying for you? Because at staff prayer this week, we're going to be praying exclusively for you, and we'd love to know how we can do that. And what if we just became radically generous with our resources and connections? And I think those small steps lead to friendship and greater kingdom impact, even if you feel there's some cost to your own. I would say the generous one will be refreshed, and it might actually be good for you. There might be more joy. There might be more missional fulfillment. There might be more impact when we start to shift from just that inward focus to, no, we are in this together, and we are part of something that is so much bigger, so much better, and it extends beyond the bounds of our organization. So we're going to be in relationship, meaningful relationship with others that are committed to that same mission, that same purpose.
Therapeutically, it gets our own ministry and our own thing out of our mind so that we can focus on the bigger and the larger.
You've written a number of books, Peter, and the most recent one is on prayer. I would love to hear, what's the genesis of that? Where did that start from? You talked about the other cultures and the way that was impacting you. You're thinking about how that worked into not just missions, but ministry and on the movement of God across the planet. So where did that start? And tell us about that.
Yeah, so it started with my friend Ryan Skook, who reached out and said he was interested in writing a book researching the prayer lives of some of the most remarkable leaders around the world. And I said, Ryan, that sounds amazing, but I'm out on that. But it was really, and part of the reason for that is when I looked at my own prayer life, there's so much room, and the stats are overwhelming that the majority of Christian leaders are dissatisfied with their prayer lives. And I would say I absolutely was in that category of knowing the importance of prayer, believing it mattered, and yet looking at my schedule and seeing it was not in a place of priority when you actually look at it. And I am so thankful that Ryan said, no, this is a journey. Come on, let's be on the journey together. Let's learn. And researching this, writing it, it has been the single most profound experience I've ever had in radically reshaping my own prayer life and the prayer culture at Hope International. And it was so crazy. Some of these leaders that we got to interview were so gracious. And, you know, Johnny Erickson Tata, what a leader of prayer. That interview alone was worth the entire thing. But John Mark Comer did the foreword for us, and how he, you know, he's known for the relentless elimination of hurry, and how he actually does that to have time in prayer. And Mark Batterson and Francis Chan and John Ortberg, and then these global leaders that allowed us to learn from them, living in war zones and starting the day with. So it has been so exciting, so profoundly impactful. And the crazy thing was there were consistent themes. Even though some of the situations were very different, there were these consistent themes about prayer lives, prayer practices, and both throughout history, but also in a global sense. So we try to synthesize some of these lessons of prayer and for personally putting them into practice, learning from these leaders who pray. It has been a joy and delight. And I think moving from this sense of the duty of prayer to actually experiencing real joy, real delight in the profound mystery of prayer. So it's been a great journey. I'm so thankful for it. And so the book is called Lead with Prayer. And it's been single most impactful thing I've ever had in my prayer life, without question.
Tell us a bit more about that. I would love to know how that is impacting you now and some of the things that you're learning. I love that, not that I've learned them, but you're learning them as you go through this process, Peter.
Yeah, that's right. And again, so a lot of this is the simple practices that when you have the discipline, we call it the rule of life, nothing new, but actually, have you ever created a rule of life? These are the prayer practices that I'm going to design. This is bringing what I believe and what I do in closer alignment, and then to do it in relationship and community, connecting this to our previous conversation, when we do that in relationship with others, so that prayer is not just an individual activity, but it is experienced with others. We have this one chapter on the postures of prayer, and that's something I did not grow up with, but exploring what are the ways that our physical posture actually can shape our spiritual posture, and that changes things. Looking at how we can create a culture of prayer within the organizations, and looking at some of the practices of the International Justice Mission and how they have these times set apart and why they do that and how they do that, and looking at the different ways that we can actually use the prayers that have been prayed for hundreds of years and finding the life in them. And so it's really just an exploration of a bigger, deeper realm of prayer. And I find it so interesting that the disciples came to Jesus, and what did they want? They saw the prayer life of Jesus, and it was so fascinating to them that they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And so as part of this too, we look at what are those prayer practices of Jesus. Anyway, I could go on, but if anyone wants to learn more, leadwithprayer.com, you can kind of get some free prayer tools on that if anyone has an interest. But yeah, absolute joy to work on this project with friends.
Well, I look forward to reading that, my friend.
Yeah.
And thanks for sharing that.
It's so good. Well, just a quick summary of a few of the other books that you've written that have had an impact in the lives of others.
Yeah, I mean, so Mission Drift is probably the one that has had the broadest reach, but that's how organizations drift from their Christ-centered mission and what we can do to prevent it. We have one called The Spiritual Danger of Doing Good, and especially for those earlier on, one of the chapters is called When Ministry Becomes Your Mistress, and how can we make sure that in the midst of doing good, we don't do harm to ourselves and to others around us. We did one on board and CEO, one in fundraising, kind of the organizational pieces. We did one on the book of Ecclesiastes called 40-40 Vision. And peterkgreer.com for more list, but that is my hobby. I love to write, and maybe just one piece is, maybe if anything, the feedback that I get is that it's like practical books. And I think that's part of the reason is because I am not writing for a dissertation. I'm writing in my leadership journey, this is a pain point. This is something that I want to learn in and then use it as an excuse to have conversations with incredible leaders, and I always do it with other co-authors to learn and write, just as you guys do the podcast together. I write in community. I write with others. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's just been great to identify what is that pain point, what is that question, and then how can we find those individuals that have navigated this in a different way, and what can we learn from them, and then synthesize that into hopefully some practical tips to improve our own leadership steps.
Take the last 30 seconds or 45 seconds to give us just some final comments from you, some suggestions from you to those who are seeking to lead well in today's culture.
Yeah, no, I feel like just the piece that you guys said is so significant. You're doing this podcast together. That is profound. The model of Hope International. It is a in relationship model. And I think that this is a really significant part right now for leaders who want to last. You've got to be in relationship. If you've been on a safari, and because of our work in the different places where we serve throughout Africa, I've been on some amazing things, but I've heard the same thing from different tour guides when you're on safari, and they say, what do you call a lone gazelle? And the answer is dinner. Those that are isolated are the ones that are more likely to be targeted. And I think the same is true for the prowling lion that loves to devour leaders today. If you are trying to do this on your own, you are missing out on this incredible gift of being in relationship. So I don't know. I'm kind of big on right now, like, no more solo work. Who are your people? Let's do it together. And I think that has such a wonderful way of, not only protecting ourselves, but really expanding our impact. And if you want to go the journey, you are not going to go the, if you want to go the distance, you are not going to do that alone. So maybe a little bit more prioritization of key relationships, and maybe a little more planning, preparation of how does my calendar provide time and space for those significant relationships.
Thank you again for being with us. Blessings to you and your ministry and your team. And the hope that Tracy and I have is that all of us will work together with others in making our next steps our best.
Thanks for joining us on Next Step Leadership, a weekly conversation dedicated to your personal growth and leadership development. Chris and I are so glad you joined us. You can find us on your favorite podcast providers. Do us a favor and hit subscribe. And if you really want to help us, give us a rating. We so appreciate your support. Check out our show notes for more information regarding guest contact information. Tracy Reynolds' new book, Second Chair Leadership, How to Serve, Thrive, and Lead from Where You Play, is available now at ctracyreynolds.com or Amazon. Chris Maxwell's 11th book, Equilibrium, 31 Ways to Stay Balanced on Life's Uneven Surfaces, is available now at chrismaxwell.me or Amazon, where you can find all of Chris's previous books as well. Our featured music is by Casual Americans. You can find their musical releases at casualamericans.com or your favorite music supplier. We release Next Step Leadership each Thursday, so join us again next week on the Next Step Journey, a conversation dedicated to helping you make your next step your best step. Things fill my